Today is All Saints Sunday. Scripture lessons are from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and the Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Message titled today is, We Have Hope in Him. 1 John chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Here ends our reading from the letter of John, the Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Now when He, that is Jesus, when Jesus saw the crowds, He went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to Him, and He began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is your glory and worship that you should be praised and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help, for you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. Martin Luther's prayer and ours. Hope. We all could use a good dose of hope. As life's challenges grow and the reality of evil rearing its ugly head all around the world, a deep, fresh breath of hope is most welcome. Hope. Hope placed where, the only place where it's worthy of placing hope, that is Jesus Christ. With this hope rooted in the reality of what happened in history, Jesus is the Christ, the crucified and risen one. Now this seems far-fetched, more akin to mythology like that of Greece and Rome, a human being, a man, nailed to the cross to die, and die he did, removed from the cross and buried in the tomb with a great huge stone rolled into place to seal the tomb shut. Even a Roman seal was added to the tomb to tell all, do not tamper with this tomb. This action is written about in Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 through 66. Jesus was dead and buried behind a large stone and with an imperial seal as a warning too set upon that stone. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. Yes, physically, bodily, rose from the dead. Flesh and bone, teeth, broiled fish, because he did ask for that one of the times he appeared to the disciples, lungs to breathe with, everything needed to go about life as a man. Yet, more than a man. For this Jesus is resurrected man. Resurrected from the dead. A man who will never die again. He has been changed. Forever changed. He could come and go from a room behind locked doors. It's a mystery. Yes, it's mystery to us. It is this one, this Jesus, who is called Christ, the crucified and resurrected one in whom our hope is placed. John wrote this letter later in his life. It's around the 80s A.D. That's where most put these letters, around the late 80s A.D. And John wrote his first letter to believers who were discouraged from struggles with sin and also struggles with false teachers. This is how John opened his letter. 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. John putting down the credentials of being an eyewitness, being there. And the very same things John witnesses, John testifies about, Jesus is the Christ. And that in Christ you have the word of life. He is life, and the proclamation of John is of eternal life and fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Again, this faith of the church is rooted in actual historical happenings, the truth and reality of it all. Take it in and place it against the discouragement you may feel in life. Place the reality of Jesus, the crucified and risen one, against your moments of discouragement and the things you are currently struggling with in life. This is Jesus. He is the Christ. Place your hope in Him. The wording of reading of 1 John chapter 3, we heard a moment ago, it really does not carry the sense of deep wonder that's in the original Greek that John, the apostle, is expressing. It just doesn't carry the deep wonder. The English is missing it from the Greek. I mean, this is the English. How great is the love the Father lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. So in the English, you see the exclamation points. The exclamation points are trying to emphasize what this really is wondrous about. But John begins his sentence with a Greek word, idete. Idete. Translate that to English, it means behold. Behold. And this is the Greek word order changed to English. Behold what love has given to us the Father, that children of God we should be called, and we are. Behold, edete, behold is used to get attention. Behold, it is to grab us and pay close attention to what is coming next. Behold, behold what? What the manner of love. Behold the manner of love the Father has given us. Behold the quality of the love, the depth of the love, the means, yes, the means of the love being expressed to us, given to put us in this place to be beloved. It is such wondrous love that behold is to grab hold of you. Pay attention to how this wondrous love really is. Pay attention, close attention, because it's wondrous love. Because Jesus was crucified on the cross for you. That's the love that's being expressed here. This is huge. I mean, this is incredible to be a child of God. This love loves you so much, it says, you're my child. And the child of God, you are. This is really important. To be a child of a person, it means to have full rights and privileges of being a son or a daughter of that person. Behold the love that is necessary to put in place the reality in order that we should be called children of God. And now pulling in John's perspective written in his gospel account, it helps deepen our understanding. John chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Gave the right to become children of God. How? By believing Jesus is the Christ. That means believing Jesus is the crucified and risen one. Believing this Jesus is the Son that was given by the Father's love to be our Savior, to die on the cross and pay the redeeming price. You see this? Behold the love. Behold this love that makes it possible for us to be children of God. My sister was here last week for Confirmation Sunday, and that's who I was sitting with during the celebration luncheon. And I've shared this before, but my sister joined the family through adoption. And I remember well the excitement of being a first grader. It's about October, November time, because she joined us just before Christmas in 1970. I'm going to have a little sister. I mean, I was just so excited. I can close my eyes and see her being baptized into the family of God and joining the family at the same time. Though not flesh and blood biologically, she is my sister. And I'm very proud to say so. Her children are my niece and my nephew. Family, with all the rights and privileges of being family. Yes, this is the legal reality. And this legal reality was well known in the Roman world. And this is the context John is writing about when he's writing his letter. To be called a child of God, that is such love for you. Caesar Augustus, he was the grandnephew, the great nephew of Julius Caesar, the grandnephew. And he came to power after the will of Julius revealed that he had made Octavian his heir. Octavian. Caesar Augustus' original name was Octavian. Octavian. Octavian's father was the one who put down the rebellion by Spartacus. You've probably seen the movie Spartacus. So Octavian's father did that. Octavian's mother was related to Julius Caesar. However, it was not the lineage, but the adoption that sealed the claim for Octavian to take rule as Augustus, as Caesar Augustus. I mean, Augustus Caesar. And this was who was Caesar during Jesus was born. So this adoption, This understanding of adoption, it was the adoption that sealed Augustus' position to rule. It sealed his claim to all the wealth. It sealed his claim to the military and the imperial authority. It did all of this, the adoption. New Testament historian Robert Lewis states that there could be no higher claim than to have been adopted by the ruler of Rome. Others could have said, hey, I'm lineage. No, adopted. Trumped over all of that. And Nero also came to rule Rome by adoption. And it was under Nero, most likely, that Paul was executed and Peter and all the persecutions began. Being called a child of God, being called children of God, means the Father has adopted you to be His own. Are you starting to see and understand the reason to have this hope that John writes about in 1 John chapter 3? And not to be discouraged by what is happening in the world. For the world can rage like a storm around you, but that raging storm can never, never, ever take away your adoption as a child of God. And likewise, never tarnish nor diminish the hope you have in Him, the crucified and risen Jesus, the Christ. For Jesus has risen and never ever will die again. Instead, the fact is we are waiting for Jesus to come back and to bring us home to be with Him. Home together with the saints who have gone on before us in the faith. We who believe are in fact and reality children of God. We are His. We are children of God. It's a matter of historical fact. We are children. It's historical fact. Yes, historical fact, because the faith of the church is rooted in the reality of these historical happenings. Jesus, born of the Virgin. We heard the confirmants publicly profess this faith last week using the Apostles' Creed. Jesus, born of Mary, crucified under Pontius Pilate, died, buried. On the third day He rose, ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again. Oh yes, He will come again. Hence, we have hope in Him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Being children of God makes certain the truth and reality of this future. It's not some vagueness of perhaps or maybe. There is certainty. God is our Father. The Son, Jesus, is our Savior. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. This means a certainty of what is coming for us. The return of Jesus the Savior. What will we be? John writes, what we will be has not yet been made known. That phrase, has been made known, it's one word in the Greek. And it means to make clear, visible, manifest, make known. Very interesting to note that John uses this same Greek word a few other times in significant places in the Gospel of John. John chapter 1. John the Baptist says, John 1 verse 31, I myself did not know Him, but the reason I became baptizing with water was that He might be revealed to Israel. That revealed, that is that same Greek word John uses in his 1 John letter. John 2, at the wedding at Cana, the turning of water into wine. John 2, verse 11, this is the first of the miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed His glory, and His disciples put their faith in Him. That word revealed is that same Greek word. Several other times John uses the Greek word, and it's about revealing, about making known, so you can see and understand. And this seeing and understanding is that so that you can believe. Jesus is the Son of God. John 17, the night Jesus was betrayed, Jesus does this great big prayer. He begins by praying for himself. Then he prays for his disciples. Then he prays for those who will come to believe through the testimony of the disciples. John 17, verse 6, John uses the same Greek word we're focusing on. John 17, verse 6, I have revealed you to those you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. So Jesus, in what he's been doing, has now shown the Father to the disciples, revealed the Father to them so they could know and understand. I have revealed, I have made known. Meaning all that Jesus has been doing and has been saying, all that he's done, everything, all of that, was to reveal the Father to the disciples. And Jesus has done this. Then in John chapter 21, John uses the same word three times for the resurrected Jesus, revealing himself to the disciples on the shore. Remember, Peter said, I'm going fishing. And then two times in verse 1 and in verse 14 of John chapter 21. Hearing the English, it doesn't quite show it though. But it's there in the Greek. John 21, verse 1. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. So appeared again, that's that Greek word revealed. And it happened this way is that Greek word revealed, make known, show forth. So the English can't capture it. It's there in the Greek. John 21, verse 14. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And again, that appeared is that Greek word, means revealed, to show, make visible, make known. So here you have it used with the resurrected Jesus, revealing. So what we will be has not yet appeared. Paul expresses it using these words in his letter to the Corinthians, and we often hear it to bring comfort at the graveside as our loved one is committed to the ground. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I begin at verse 50. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable. And we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has enclosed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. What we will be, it's not known. But when Jesus comes again, as he promised, when Jesus appears, we will be like him, with resurrected bodies to never die again. We will be fit and ready to be welcomed into heaven with him and the Father, pure, holy. We will be redeemed to the fullness of completion, what redemption means. We will receive the goal of the faith, eternally pure, holy and spiritual and glorious, full of dignity restored, all that the fall of man took away, we will be have back again because we'll be fully redeemed. And with us in such a spiritual reality, we will finally see Jesus as he truly is. Nothing will be blinding us from seeing Jesus as he truly is. John expresses it this way in his letter, for we shall see him as he is. Nothing. Nothing will separate us from Jesus and the Father. We'll be clothed in that fashion. We'll be clothed in that redeemed, resurrected fashion as children of God. And we'll finally be able to see Jesus as He truly is. And the Father as He truly is, sitting upon the throne in heaven. It's so magnificent. It's so marvelous. How do you put it into words? How do you put it into words? And we'll also be with our loved ones who've gone before us in the faith. The saints who've gone on before us. We will all be there together, praising and worshiping with eternal joy. Eternal, glorious joy. This is what is to come for us who are children of God. For all the children of God redeemed by Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. Everyone who has put this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. That Greek word for hope. The Greek word means expectation. It means hope. It means trust. It means confidence. And the root word of that, it means anticipate and welcome. Hope is an anticipation. It's an expectation of what is sure and certain. This hope that the Greek expresses and the hope we are to have has no aspect of wishful thinking. None at all. No, it's a certainty. It's no wishful thinking of a child saying, I hope to get to Christmas. I hope to get this for Christmas. You remember the old Sears wish books? I mean, when they're gargantuan. And then the toy section, I'd immediately open to the toy section. I don't need clothes. I don't need underwear. I don't need socks. I don't give me toys. No, those other things, toys. This G.I. Joe, oh, deep sea diver, space capsule. Oh, I mean, I hope I get that for Christmas. Sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't. And then Big Jim, Action Jackson, I could keep going on with all the toys I had. But that was wishful thinking, I hope to get for Christmas. Or, I hope he notices me and asks me out. Or, I hope there's a nice slice of pumpkin pie left when I get home. Or as you're reaching for the cookie jar, and you start reaching for, I hope there's a chocolate chip cookie there for me. Well, the jars, you can't see into the jar. You don't know until you lift the lid off. There may be a chocolate chip cookie. There may be a dozen. There may be none. It's not that kind of wishful thinking, I hope for a chocolate chip cookie. There is no uncertainty in this hope that we're speaking of that we have in Jesus. Uncertainty has no place in this hope we speak of and John writes of here in his letter. Everyone who has hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. As we are filled with this hope, the outflowing of this hope, being rooted deep inside of us, is to become like Christ, to live out the reality of the faith. That's what it means. Paul expresses this same concept, this same idea in this way. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And Paul also writes it in this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Very easy to memorize. Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. So this hope that's in us, that we have in Him, Jesus, we then start to live out the purified life as He is pure. We have this hope in Jesus. We desire more and more to live out this hope in Jesus. And that simply means to live the faith. Live the faith daily. Make the faith real in all of our daily interactions of life with each other and ourselves. Make it real. Live the faith. Have you seen internet postings of people going through the self-checkout lines and not scanning everything, but they quickly move it past the scanner, put it in the bag, take the bag, put it in the cart? That's happening at Walmart, Carl, and all these other things. They're just skipping the scanner and they're putting it. So they're taking out $200+ worth of groceries or so and paying only $40-some for it. I mean, and that's how you save money. And they're posting it on the internet telling you, hey, this is a great way to save money. You go through the motion, you place the bag into the cart. Or how about, have you seen the clips of the flash mobs smashing and grabbing and then totally destroying the stores? That's happened in several places. Or did you see this one? This just this past week from a Ring door camera, Halloween candy. A gentleman, he wanted to watch the World Series. He wanted to root his team on. So he put a big bowl of candy out. He put a sign out, please just take one. Very soon after that, a couple children along with their moms emptied out the whole candy. And the moms were helping the kids empty out the whole bucket of candy. I mean, just take one piece. I mean, this cheating, lying, stealing, that's just a few examples. These have no place in the life of one filled with the hope that John writes about, this hope in Jesus Christ. Be imitators of me, Paul wrote, just as he imitates Christ. And that's what John is writing here too. Live this hope out, this faith, doing what is right and what is good. And that desire grows more and more for those who have this hope in Jesus. For we want to be like him. We want to be like he is. We have this hope. Being honest, we fail to live it out. We fail to live out the faith perfectly that flows from the hope and the faith that's rooted in our hearts. The living God knows this. The living God knows this. And that's why our salvation, and that this kind of hope, it flows from the finished work of Christ on the cross. The finished work of Christ on the cross. The redeeming price has been paid in full, and there's nothing, no work for us to do. Believe and be a child of God. And as such, you have all the rights and privileges of being a child of God. This hope is yours. Eternal life is yours, and one day rising with a resurrected body is yours, entering heaven into the presence of God, or as Jesus puts it, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And that pure in heart is because of the finished work of Christ on the cross, and God declares you righteous in his sight. So it's not a work that you do, it's because of what Christ has done. You will see God. And more than that, you will see God as he truly is in all the fullness of splendor, the fullness of holiness, the glory with the Son there and seeing the Son as he truly is, all the saints who've gone before us, all who have died in the faith of the church, it will all rise to that great homecoming that is to come. This hope is real. It's just as real as the faith of the church in us is real. Because we have this certainty of Jesus coming again, we being changed forever, and finally seeing the living Lord God face to face in all his splendor and glory, we have hope that this world cannot take away from us. For our hope is in him, Jesus, the crucified and risen Lord. And just as he rose, we will rise. Yes, you will rise, I will rise, we will rise. That is the certainty of this hope we have in him. For Jesus is the Christ, the crucified and risen Lord, and he's coming again, and we will see him as he is. Amen and amen.